All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I hate to break the fishing news after Ramchuk, but I'd like to speak about the ice hockey.
Congratulations, you're one of the 13 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
We just traded a migraine in for like an orgasm.
Might want to mark that down.
Yep. All of my projects are on schedule until they're not.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
About as funny as we're going to get today.
It's the first time in 7 days we have a new Real Life Podcast because we took last Thursday off for the holiday. I'm Tyler Remchuk. This is episode 295. It's brought to you by the HGA Group. Take your business to the next level with the next generation of business services that the HGA Group offers. Hello, everybody.
I'm going to HGA tomorrow. I have a meeting there at 11 a.m. or something, 2 p.m., somewhere around there.
HGA just finished making us a very, very sexy pitch deck for dailyfaceoff.com.
What's a pitch deck?
It's something you throw at someone and hopefully they throw money back at you.
Mm-hmm. Seems like
so the same plan. Company that did the accounting can also make us a pitch deck. What kind of magic company is this, you ask?
Yes.
HGA.
This pitch deck is so magical. We call it a playbook because we are a sports company, but it has got audio clips embedded in it. Mm. So so you can click to play.
I didn't even know you could do that.
And video clips. Yeah, I asked. I didn't know. I just threw it out there and they said, yeah, we can figure it out.
That's awesome. Did you like our the video clip I sent the other day with Gregor and the ad read?
I feel like we're entering a new level of business. It's really weird. Like especially the preparation going into pitching. Like Remchuk, we've got a tentative large network partner that we're working with, are working on closing. And Remchuk had the DFO rundown guys create a video ad read of what it would look like if it was on the show.
I know like their studio graphic.
Whose idea was that?
It came up in a conversation with Graham.
Good idea.
Yeah. So now we should be doing that more. I know we're just now talking random business stuff, but like when we're going to talk to someone about like entering a relationship with a podcast, we should be like giving them, you know, this is what it looked like. This is Gregor pumping up your halfway to boxing day.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah.
Happy 4th of July long weekend to all of our friends south of the border as well. I know we have listeners south of the border, so we're giving you a podcast on what is a holiday for yourselves. So happy Independence Day. Hope you're
isn't
all
today the 5th?
Yeah, well, it's their holiday.
It's their holiday. They get the holiday Monday, right? Kind of like how we got Thursday off last week.
Since we're talking about podcasts, I was at the lake this weekend and I also heard Frank Saravalli give us a shout out for the Real Life podcast.
What do you mean?
Oh, you want me to play it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was talking about Ryan Nugent Hopkins' new deal. And I really hope no, this is the clip. Maybe. Oh. One sec. Nope. I need a second here. I didn't, my phone is not connected.
We haven't even, well, he's working on that too. Cause we haven't even had a chance to talk about Nuge on this one yet either. We did an emergency episode of ON Radio on Wednesday.
Smart.
To talk
about smart. You got to. You got to.
The Nuge deserves it.
All yeah. hands on deck.
Here we go.
There's a lot of love for my boy out there. You know,
here's what Frank said on the DFO rundown.
And I think they're in a good spot moving forward now. And by the way, Nuge gets to retire an Oiler. I just didn't know that all those slogans keep Nuge forever from the Real Life Podcast guys, that they actually meant forever.
Yeah, well,
damn right,
pow,
we meant forever.
Pow, 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 pow.
That is Frank Saravalli shutting us out, everyone.
Forever.
Forever, Frank. Nuge is here forever.
Like, Bag Milk, it was like you were in the news. Like, there were so many mentions of you in the Nuge sign. You see now the value of a slogan for a political campaign, right?
It was
I like Ike, keep news forever. They did. They went long term. You had good branding on it.
It really was. It's like, this is what I said on ON Radio. It was almost like I was the one that signed the contract in some respects because my mentions on Instagram and Twitter were just full of nothing but love all
heavy
day
duty.
Long.
Your fave stayed. You're lucky.
If I said I got 50 DMs on Instagram and countless mentions on Twitter, even there was like almost a hat tip from the Oilers official account. Also.
Oh, I there saw was that. A, I saw that. Was.
I swear the Nuge's last game should be you riding his horse, Infinite Patience, around on Rexall ice. And the Nuge comes Rexall, out and does a loop. And you're like, forever. Hey, if that's the only problem with the story that you see your M check, congratulations.
What was the hat tip?
So keeping him.
The official account says, so I started Keep Nuge Forever. And that was, I don't know, 100 years ago at this point.
Forever
and
ago.
And it took on a life. It really did take on a life of its own. I never thought it was ever going to turn into what it did. But then when they made the announcement.
No. Don't forget the t-shirt part of the story.
Well, the t-shirt part was ridiculous because
that's when it went hyper legendary meme status.
Yeah. We forced the Oilers at that point.
Because we came up with the Keep Nuge Forever shirt. I remember it. We were all upstairs just bullshitting. And we kind of like, we should do a Keep Nuge Forever shirt. And it's just a very simple t-shirt. But then, Jay, I don't remember, through some of our content, I don't remember how it happened.
Our boy Johnny Winwick, ATB Financial,
Best guy ever.
Ended up getting a bunch of these shirts to Ryan Nugent Hopkins and the boys for his wedding. And then we got that photo of all of them wearing it. And then from there, it was just bananas. So, you know, fast forward to the hat tip from the official account. It was just the top of the tweet was just, we're keeping him with a wink. And it was just, I got tagged in that. I don't know how many times. It was a fun day. It was a really fun day.
We're penetrating the fortress.
That's the name of my sex tape.
That's kind of gross. But the people behind that Oilers Twitter account, they're like the girl who runs it, Caitlin. People. Yeah, she's really good. And she's with the jokes on Twitter too. She's awesome.
She's awesome. Yeah, so no, definitely their social game is definitely leveled up in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I kiss asked and thanked them at the end of the playoff season here on check. I'm like, thanks at Oilers. You've done such a good job. And they liked it. I was like, ha!
Kiss in the ring, eh?
The damn right.
And then one of their bosses yelled at them for interacting with you.
Probably. When that shirt came out, I'd gone and had a meeting. Gregor and I had had a meeting with the OEG. We were having meetings pre-pandemic. And they were like, you know, this is what we think of you, and this is what we don't think of you, and blah, blah, blah. And then we're like, okay. And then we went back and heard more. And my last meeting with them, they were specifically like, making gear about Oilers. And I was like, oh, come on now. Let's not get too excited. And then like a week later, that happened. And they're like, what did we talk about last meeting? And I was like, there's too much momentum in the streets, man. It can't be stopped. It's gone too far. The genie's out of the bottle.
Yeah. Keep Nuge Forever. It's a way of life now, you know?
I was like, what are you going to do? Lock me up, put me in arena jail? I know there is one.
Is there a jail in the arena?
Like, yeah, there's one cell.
For like rambunctious fans.
Well, that's one way to describe it. Anybody wearing a Johnny Gaudreau jersey?
Yep.
Oh. Remember when you guys dressed up as turtles and went to that game?
Oh, yeah.
That was legendary.
That was great. That was hilarious. All right. We got a bunch of voicemails to dig into. Chalmers, you've been quiet, though. Before we get to the voicemails, how's it going? How was your week?
I'm good, man. How are you? Like, yeah, it's good. I see a lot of stuff about the Oilers online. Like, the Nuge signing, awesome. This whole Duncan Keith thing sure has taken a life of its own.
That's kind of
interesting to see. There's so many people putting that, and I've said that I often hate that kind of stuff in the off season, but this one was funny to watch because there's a whole bunch of different people that have a whole bunch of different ideas. So that was going to be one of my questions to you guys is like,
we love this kind of stuff in the off season, Chalmers. This is our bread. Yeah.
I just want to put a pause here for a second so we can reflect. Yaremchuk asked Chalmers how he's doing. And Chalmers spoke right from the heart and went right into hockey.
Yeah,
I did.
That's a moment.
That's a moment. Like, that needs to be observed,
so
looked at,
yeah.
And now we can proceed.
The new thing was one of those moments where, you know, you don't realize you need something or want something until you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I saw that, I was kind of like, this feels good. But then when we got his, I saw on TV just basically a snippet of him, you know, he put out a video just saying like, I've wanted to be here. I want to build something great with this team. And he just wanted him to stay flat out. Like, I want to win a Stanley Cup with this group. Like, and he just tiptoed towards that line. He just never said Stanley Cup, but he's like, I want to build something great here. And I was like, come on, dude, just say what we want you to say. But it made me feel good. I'm not going to lie. I knew it would feel good for you guys. I am an empathetic character, if nothing. And I knew that it would make all you guys happy. And so I was
okay. First of all, you are not an empathetic character. So I need you to walk that back.
I think that I am, but
I have literally heard you within the last calendar month, lip off someone for making a larger statue of Jesus than your favorite Jesus statue in Brazil.
That is true.
Is not the words of an empathetic man.
Yep.
Yes. I have empathy for all the people that live and gain their money solely on the fact that they have this statue, and now somebody else is making a bigger statue. So yeah, I felt empathy with all the people that were going to lose out.
It would be like if Calgary put up a statue of a bigger baseball bat than we have. That's bullshit.
I went through the same trauma with Mac the Moose and the Moose in Norway. But you know what?
Yeah.
We got together, we raised some funds, and we put bigger antlers on Mac, and we have taken back the world stage.
Your move, Norway.
So Norway tried to pull off the prick move, Chalmers, but you got to get together as a community and fight back.
That is it. I'm hoping that they did. Because I care.
That's
about
the story of why signing the Nuge was great.
How am I doing? This was a very quiet weekend. Not going to lie. We had the Canada Day, which was an amazing day, which went into Friday, which was a less than amazing day due to the fact that Canada Day was an amazing day. And then
it was weird having it fall on Thursday, wasn't it?
Yeah, so
it was so weird, man. Every single, you know how many people, and even Yaremchuk did it on our group text being like, hey, podcast tomorrow. And we're all like, it is Saturday.
Yeah, I'm so funny.
So many people that I was around and like in my everyday was losing track of time. Nobody knew what day it was. It was fucked. But we had a nice baseball tournament this weekend. A lot of hanging out at the house. It was in Sherwood Park. It was the Sherwood Park tournament over at the Sherwood Heights.
Called the Doc Polotsky?
The Doc Polotsky. That's what it was called, yeah. And this baseball diamond, if you can picture this. So there's four fields, and they're all in basically each diamond is kitty corner to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, you know, I'll tell you one thing. It is great because you can hear everything that's going on. The atmosphere was electric. But foul balls are dangerous as
ooh, active shit. War zone.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. You're yelling heads up and nobody's listening. It's almost hitting people watching other games. Kids are running around. It was chaos with a foul ball, but no, it was cool. Yeah, Doc Klosky, great tournament put on by our friends out in Sherwood Park there. And yeah, so they were early morning games. So
how many diamonds were kind of like back to back?
That's the thing.
Context.
So if you made a square, if you made a square and then put home plate at each one, and then they go out from there. So four diamonds in a square, basically with all the home bases back to back to back to back.
Adds another little layer of risk to the game. That's fun.
Yeah. Makes baseball, it really does. Make baseball dangerous.
Needs more excitement. It needs more excitement. So
I've always said that in the outfield at every major league park, there should be like a moat with some very dangerous gators in it. Have to like run avoid the gators.
There's a certain outlet who does a series called How to Save Baseball. And all of their things are like random little tiny pawns in the outfield. They want trampolines 10 feet from the warning track.
Yeah, slam ball.
You should be allowed to have the opposite team should be allowed to have somebody in the outfield blocking. Oh. So the guys are trying to catch a ball, but there's a guy blocking for the batter.
But there's a rival blocker. Each team,
in the outfield.
There's a tackler, and then the other team has an opposing blocker.
Yes. You're like, oh man, he was going to hit his single, but then the second or the right fielder got run over, and then it was a double.
American Gladiator style tennis ball cannons, and as the pop ups are coming, they're just firing balls at people.
You just literally said two things. JR said one thing, and Bag Milk said one thing. Slam ball. What a fucking it just hit the ground.
It came to a violent end.
Oh,
it is coming back. It's coming back, dude. I think
it's big overseas.
The dude.
What, in like countries that don't have laws?
Yeah, I think so.
Or they don't have ankles?
The dude that founded Slam Ball is actively pursuing his new league.
Peg Leg McGee?
Huge financing.
Founder of Slam Ball because his leg came off because of Slam Ball?
Okay, first off, I thought it was just. I thought this was just like basketball with some trampolines. It's full contact.
Yeah, you could hit.
You hit guys. Yeah.
This is nuts.
But Tyler,
it's really not about the basketball. It's about the violence and the broken ankles.
Yes. Tyler, isn't there
about the trampolines?
Isn't there a legit MLB field where it's got like a big incline in the middle of the
So that was out in Houston. Center field used to have a hill in the middle or like out at the fence. They've taken it out since then.
Yeah, that's so stupid. Like
it was so funny though, because you would see guys eat shit every now and then because they're trying to play a play on a ball.
Yeah,
I'm glad we just workshopped some ways to fix baseball. All right, we're at the
maybe 15. Two balls.
What if there would be a way to like let one player on each team like wear rollerblades where they could go like extremely faster than everyone, whether it's in the field or on the bases?
Tyler,
it would just murder the catcher.
Are you old enough to remember Superstore rollerblade guys?
I know they existed, but I don't remember ever seeing it.
Ah, they were the coolest.
That was the job.
That was the job.
I'm watching Slam Ball highlights.
You don't remember guys at Superstore cruising around on rollerblades? Like they worked there and they would be like runners.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, I always wanted that job when I was a kid. I thought they were the coolest.
Hold on. People worked at Superstar wearing rollerblades?
Back in the day, yes, I remember that.
What?
Those are slick floors, man. That is not like...
Holy fuck, so they'd be skating all day long?
You could actually stop, though, on those floors. Like you could dig in on a normal stop and get it done.
What a world.
Yeah, they would be like...
Also used to have roller skating waitresses at drive-in diners?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the roller skate industry at one point... The roller skate industry at one point was like 90% of roller skates are going to commercial applications where people are skating at work.
I remember I was in Killarney, Manitoba. We have a listener down there. I can't remember who. Shout out Killarney. I was at the pavilion down by the lake, and it was roller skate derby night. And like you got to rent roller skates, and everyone just skated around. And you get your people that are super into it and got their dances going and got the moves.
Have you seen that meme the video where those like, six older guys are all in a flying V and they're doing like choreographed skates around the It's like they live for Friday nights at the roller skate at the roller.
What happened to the roller skating industry? Like roller derbies died out, people skating at work
It'll come back. The novelty of it will come back. I was watching Modern Family and they went to a roller rink place. Like it's a thing. Get good tunes, get a good DJ, get some people know what they're doing.
You're the roller skating industry. You get cocky. It's the 70s. Good times are never going to end.
Do you remember those yellow Fisher Price skates that would like
damn right
shape to fit your shoes?
As your feet grew, your skates stayed the same. Genius.
I did a quick Googling for the Superstore Rollerblade guys. According to this one thread on Reddit, where it was a big thing looking, they were looking for each other, essentially, in this thread. Around 2005 is when things started to get lawyery, and it was phased out by 2007.
Yeah.
Simpler times then.
Just body check one customer.
Remember when remember when roller hockey was like signing people to contracts and shit?
Yeah.
Remember that era where it was like, this is wild. Inline skating is going to overtake skating on ice because they can do it outdoors.
I think for the past 3 minutes, your MChuck's just been watching slam ball highlights.
And I'm actually like, oh my God.
He's giving the Joe Rogan, expression every time he sees somebody get it.
Yeah, go slam ball injuries. There's some epic ones.
Okay, no, I'm texting you guys. I just screen recorded a video of some slam ball highlights. I'm going to text it to you guys right now.
Put it up on social.
This is 100% going to our Instagram, then probably taken down for copyright infringement.
Buddy, I'll tell you one thing. In the next 6 months in this calendar year, you will hear news that slam ball is making a comeback, and it will be on some streaming, maybe Twitch or something, but they have deals in the works. I have heard this interview.
So in the video I sent you, the first one is a beautiful dunk. It's a sick dunk. And the next play is someone who I think may have died.
Sick dunk like, coming in. Oh, that's a far out, far trampoline too.
Yeah.
Oh, an alley-oop. Oh, multiple alley-oops here in the second one. No helmets either. No buckets on these guys.
No, just nothing. It's incredibly dangerous.
How can they be doing this? Is it offshore?
Yeah, probably.
These highlights I'm showing you are from 2009, so keep that in mind.
Country that doesn't recognize safety.
Yeah.
Yeah, that anything guy gets
goes. Yeah, gets smoked.
One of the stands.
Did you just watch the Hit Chalmers?
That was a clothesline.
Like the owner of the Flyers, Ed Snyder, owned a slam ball team.
That doesn't surprise me. All right, do we want to get to some voicemails?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
We got
any of them sex talk?
No, but there is a person who is committed to a bit called Future Wanye. And I want that person to know I love them. I think the storyline is great, but I'm not allowed to play them. So
storyline, I like keep it going.
Having seen numerous episodes of Star Trek Voyager, I know if you speak to yourself in the future, it creates a paradox.
Yeah, that's the butterfly.
One of the days where I'm not on, play them all. Just I can't hear it or it will open a hole in space-time.
Yeah.
By the way, slam ball launched in China in 2015 and the resurgence in China.
Hmm. Interesting.
So there you go.
I just sent you guys to our group thread a story from a couple months ago where the headline is, I have no idea why slam ball is trending in 2021, but I do know slam ball is awesome and ahead of its time. And it's coming back, man.
Even the team names, like the Crashers against the Diablos. Are you kidding me?
The Rumble, the Diablos, the Bouncers, the Steel, the Mob, and the Slasher. Those were the themes.
Wow.
That's pretty sweet.
All right. Let's get cracking here on some voicemails.
Hold on. Slam ball ended because a guy exploded into feathers, right? Like what happened at the end? Why did it end?
I don't think it was because of a particular injury. I just think it was
a rash of lawsuits.
I think Spike TV decided it wasn't.
Wasn't that the problem?
Yeah, it could be.
Oh, maybe. But it was Spike TV, right?
The best show that station ever had was Pros versus Joes or whatever. That show was unbelievable.
That was fucking amazing.
That needs to come back. There's a mini golf show on right now with like Steph Curry. Like, who wants to watch that shit? I want to watch Pros versus Joes.
There's a show where they make Lego, boys. Give me a fucking break.
I'm telling you, Joe Schmo is the best show on Spike. It was the reverse reality show. What happened to Spike? Everyone is in on it except for one person.
It's now Paramount TV.
The stuff
they would do to that guy. Jonathan Torrens was in the first season. He played Gerard, the gay guy.
Gerard, you're right.
Yeah.
What?
Hey, well, yeah, Remchuk, remember there was a show back in like the early 80s? I think Gretzky was even on it. And it was like a Pros versus Joes. No, you might just think you might have heard of it. It's not like you would have seen it. But yeah, it was called... Gosh, I can't even remember. We'll figure it out. But it was like the first iteration of Joes versus Pros, and it went away. And man, that show was awesome.
Was that when he did the 100-meter like dash with all those other athletes like Pelé and Sugar Ray and?
Well, but it Bjorn wasn't just Born athletes or... versus athletes. It was they definitely had one street like one average person, one just civilian basically against a bunch of pro athletes. But I can't remember what it was.
One of the ads for Pros versus Joes, it has Dennis Rodman and then some like short chubby guy. And the tagline is just Rodman versus Repairman. Like, that's sick. That's awesome. Oh, this is all so good. They need to bring back this show.
That would be a great show to bring back because like it was a lot of fun. Okay, can you rebound against Dennis Rodman? Yeah, I can. No, you cannot.
If we're bringing back old shows, can we bring back the slap you in the face competitions they do?
That's still going on.
Have you ever seen those?
They're online all the time.
Woo! How do they not blow their eardrums out?
Oh, God, that's silly.
And those guys that are in them, their necks are the size of thighs. You know what I mean?
That seems a lot more dangerous than everything excluding slam ball, which remains way more dangerous.
All right. I don't know how we've gone down a weird rabbit hole, but I love it. Anyways, what? now do we want to get to the voicemails?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's it. There we go.
So there are three that all follow a very specific topic. So I'll start with the first one we got on this topic from Jacob Jarr. Jacob Jarr or Jacob, maybe the J is different. It's Jacob Yar. I don't know. Either way.
Yar.
He sent us this. Come on.
Hey guys, big fan of the pod. I've been seeing around here that Duncan Keith is rumored to come here, and I've got a trade proposal here that might be pretty interesting. So I've got here Duncan Keith retained at 35%, Dylan Strome in a first round pick from Chicago for this year, for Caleb Jones, Mikko Koskinen, and our first round pick with Koskinen being retained at 50%.
Chalmers, you're up.
Chicago is some nice cap space, $3.5 million, and they're going to get extra cap space when Koskinen's contract's up. And for Edmonton, they're eating $3.5 million, but getting a strong, versatile player in Dylan Strome, who could be a top six winger and a third line center if need be. And we move up in the draft, and we can either draft a really high prospect with that pick or trade that for immediate help. Mm-hmm. And yeah, let me know what you think.
Chalmers, you're up.
Charles, your take.
Chalmers, do something. Spaz out.
You can see,
fantasy football league.
If that guy would have come to me at a party and asked me that question, I would have looked at him, tried to get the eyes out of the back of my fucking head back to the front of my head, and walked away so fast. I don't know what the hell he just said. I don't know if any of those things are fucking even possible. All I heard was Duncan Keith, blah, 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 nerd alert.
Chalmers hates trade proposals.
Chalmers hates
trade proposals. The guy left a message, don't take this personally. It's a much bigger psychological issue than you are, sir. Could that trade work? Perhaps.
Thank you for the voicemail.
Guy that left the voicemail, 20% of the people on this podcast don't care about your voicemail.
People not named Chalmers, what do we think?
You're such a dick.
I'm saying that one in five people didn't like it. That means the other four did. So just don't worry about it.
Let me break this down here. Jacob, I think your proposal is close to what it would take for me to pull the trigger on that move, but I wouldn't want to keep any of Koskinen's money. I would want to have them take Koskinen at full and keep the money from Duncan Keith to make them equal for a year. And then we might be getting somewhere. I like the idea of moving up in the draft. I don't hate the idea of acquiring Dylan Strome either. I think that proposal could be along the lines of what we eventually see.
You see, Chalmers, you're looking at this like it's a conversation at a party, and your MChuck's looking at this like a sports media professional. That's how you respond to that question.
Exactly.
I'm going to roll my eyes back in my head till they pop out the other side.
I echo Tyler's comments.
Yeah,
they have to.
That's because he is a sports media professional, and I am most likely just a guy at a party.
You are at a party currently. Okay.
Everyone's on brand right now.
Everyone's doing their thing.
Charles, yeah. we got a few other ones here, so I'll switch gears.
This is what it's all about. I won't say another word.
Okay.
No, I want you to lip everybody off. I'm just trying to provide all the different voices and the Spice Girls to have harmony.
Then, the next one I will listen to and I will actually take it seriously.
Okay. The one that was about me, I wouldn't even allow Graham Chuck to read it. That's how immature I am. So, you know,
which is weird because you hear your voice in the very beginning of the show open.
Yeah.
So I don't
totally get it. Though I've never listened to a single minute of the show. I don't even have podcasts coming to my phone. I've been doing it for 5 years.
So Jacob chimed in on Duncan Keith. We got a different one here. This one is from JJ. So Chalmers, you'll like this one.
Okay.
Pod here. I kind of wanted to throw out what I think would be the ideal scenario if Duncan Keith is in fact on his way over to Edmonton.
Oh no, Chalmers. So
an ideal Duncan Keith trade that I think would work out best would be Duncan Keith and Dylan Strome going to Edmonton for James Neal, Caleb Jones, and a 2022 conditional third round pick, with the condition being that it would become a second if the Oilers made it to, say, the Western Conference Final or the second round. Then just buy out Koskinen because he's trash. And with all the goalies in the market right now, it kind of makes very little sense to try and wait out that year and try and pry and force something next year. And kind of the linchpin to all that, all this happening and all the free cap space going on would be to try as hard as possible to push Zach Cassian. Because as much as I like the guy, and he could be at times a decent top six player, at 3.2 mil for the next few years is just such a waste of space, especially in a flat cap. So Kenny Holland's got to do whatever he could possibly do to get Zach Cassian in Seattle and off our books for good. But yeah, let me know your thoughts.
At this point of the party, at this point of the party, Chalmers is looking around going, what kind of fucking party have I come to?
I'm at the wrong party.
Okay, can I ask an honest question? So those two were similar, right? Mm. And I feel like they're the same things I heard at the very beginning. When the minute, I think it was Elliot Friedman put out something about Duncan Keith would be like perfect year or whoever the did it. These were the scenarios that I guess what you would say the professionals were saying. So are these people, they're not coming up with their own things. They're basically like asking us. Those are not things that were said. I basically heard from about two different places that exact thing though. And these were like green, these were like blue check marks. So I just feel like the guy's not like coming up with, like, he didn't just write that all himself, did he?
I think he did. Yeah. Hey, no one is like, no one is like leaving.
You know,
Chalmers,
that trade, you have to, it's like a petition. If 1,000 people propose a trade, it gets ratified and it goes through.
That's right.
Right.
All trades were consensus of fan bases before they occur.
If you could pull that off, if you can get James Neal off the books and not have to buy him out in that trade, if you could, I don't think Chicago says yes.
I wouldn't do it if I'm Edmonton. I wouldn't do Neal for Keith.
What?
Well, why? And it was Caleb Jones. And it was a conditional.
Yeah, that too. Like,
and we get Dylan Strome.
Only way I'm really interested in Duncan Keith is if James Neal is part of what's going the other way.
I wouldn't work here.
That straight up. I wouldn't do Keith for Neal straight up at all. The buyout for James Neal is still way more appetizing than having Duncan Keith on your team
for 2 years. But the last 2 years, saving 500 grand here and there is going to be monumental.
Yeah, but you're not saving 500 grand. You're saving 200K in that deal. In Neil for Keith straight up. And you can't buy out Keith. So if Keith comes here and sucks for a year, you're stuck with that for one more season. If you buy out Neil, you can take the 3 point whatever that you save.
For two years. Then he's dead cap space.
The cap will go up. It doesn't matter.
If this is a real party right now, Chalmers would be out in a different room finding new people to hang out with.
Yeah, Chalmers is petting the dog somewhere, you know, at this party.
So you would rather not get rid of Neil. You'd rather buy out Neil.
I would rather buy out Neil than trade Neil for Keith straight up.
Yeah,
I'm not saying straight up in my
It's a package though. We're also going to get Dylan Strome.
Yeah, okay. So if it was Neil and Jones for Keith and Strome.
Hmm.
I don't see why we're giving up Jones for a guy who's almost 40.
that too, that doesn't make a ton of, but if you're going to lose Jones in expansion, but then you might lose Keith, like it is weird. The Jones angle.
But we have people coming up behind Jones, so we can afford to lose them. Well, so there you go. Right. So if we may as well try to get some value, we can get Dylan Strome coming back.
I'm with you. I just, if I'm trading Caleb Jones, I'd want it for a player who's not closer to getting a discount card at Humpty's.
Do you want to hear the interesting fun fact of this whole situation? So Duncan Keith wants to play in the West.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like specifically like Pacific Northwest. So like that isolates it to four teams.
Mm-hmm.
Probably doesn't want to go to Seattle because it's an expansion and the Vegas thing isn't going to happen again. Well, I don't, who knows? Vancouver can't afford him. Calgary is Calgary and they suck. It literally only makes it Edmonton as the desired option of those four.
Seattle's a way better fit than you think. I think Seattle makes a ton of sense.
Seattle makes a lot of sense. He has name value. People will buy jerseys. They're not expecting to do well. Yeah,
Seattle might want him, but he has a no movement clause. He is in full control of his destiny, and he wants to win.
No, that's not why he wants out.
I know why he wants out.
But why does he want out?
He wants to be closer to his family.
His son.
Penticton. They're in Penticton. So wherever he goes, if he has an option, he's probably going to choose the team as the best chance to win.
To Jay's point that he can choose where he wants to go. And if Edmonton is, say, Seattle, Edmonton are kind of like the rumored destinations right now. Why do we have to give up much of anything?
We've got the card. So you've got to try to leverage that a bit.
Yeah. 100%.
Which is interesting. That's an interesting fun fact of this whole situation.
That is. I'm going to give my trademark this, my Chalmers positive spin to JJ and Jacob. The fact that you guys can
both start with the letter J, both have Duncan Keith trade proposals and listen to this podcast.
understand the cap clearly better than I do and how conditional third round picks do, which means you've done a lot more research about this, that, hey, guys, your voicemails, they deserve to be heard and they deserve to be commented on by the other four guys on this podcast. Chalmers, positive spin zone.
Well spun.
I'd be way more excited about this rumor if it was 2012. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's not happening.
Sure, I'm sure he wanted to get out of Chicago too if it's 2012.
That's the thing. We don't need to. That's the thing. We don't need to do this. He's given them a four team list, and Edmonton would be on the top of that list. So, like, we hold the cards here if we want to do it. Like,
we've got a 38-year-old defenseman already named Evan Bouchard. We never used.
That's the thing. We got to pair him up with the two 38-year-olds together. Imagine them as a third line pair.
72-year unit
can do exactly what Duncan Keith could do for Evan Bouchard. Like, there is some value there.
They're up bright and early, waiting on the bus, ready to go hours before everyone else.
And Duncan Keith just seems like a cool guy. If you've ever heard of his interviews or anything, like, he just seems like a really cool, down-to-earth dude.
I don't want to get in the weeds on this too much, but
if
I was in Chicago right now, I'd want to be getting the fuck out of there because I think some shit's about to hit the fan there. Listen.
What do you mean?
I don't understand why this whole allegations against this video coach from 2010 aren't being talked about more. Why the fact that it was brought to the front office. It was talked about by Sam Bowman and all the front office staff knew what had happened. So they got rid of this guy, but gave him a letter of recommendation to another team where he went on and committed the same act to a 17-year-old. There's some fucking questions to be answered there. I don't want to get in the weeds too much about it because that is not what this show is about. And we need to learn a lot more about it, I think. But the fact is it's been very, very quiet.
Well, Frank and Gregor are on the case.
There you go.
They're not letting it go.
Are they?
They're going deep on the subject. It's been great. Listen to the episode from last week.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Frank's on a mission.
If people want to hear more about this, DFO Rundown episode 41 with Katie Strang, and Katie Strang's an investigative journalist covering this. If you go listen to that podcast, it'll catch you up to date on kind of what's been happening here. I don't think that has anything to do with why Duncan Keith wants out again, though. I think it's purely family reasons.
It's family.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I didn't know people actually lived in Penticton. I thought you just vacationed there.
I thought maybe he wanted to leave Chicago now that Lil Durk moved to LA from Chicago because it wasn't safe. I thought maybe that's why Duncan Keith wanted to leave too, because it wasn't safe.
Yeah, Kanye left and now Duncan Keith wants to go too.
And Lil Durk.
Yeah, and Lil Durk.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget Lil Durk.
Oh, so you don't even know anything, Chalmers. Jesus, he's huge.
I know who Lil Durk is.
Did you know that last year, Chalmers, out of 52 weeks on Billboard, the number one song was a Roddy Ricch song, 16 weeks out of 52? That's how popular Roddy Ricch is, and you don't even know who he is.
I do. So I know that song. It's a good song.
Which one?
That says something about a box or something, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, we have another voicemail to get to. Did you guys know we have a listener in Nanaimo?
Oh,
not Nemeo. At first, I thought it was Nemeo, and then I listened to the voicemail. I was like, oh no, that's Nanaimo.
Home of the bar. Thank you.
Here's Brett from Nemeo hitting us up. On the inbox.
Nemeo or Nanaimo?
Nanaimo.
Holy crap, this team. I love it so much. And then I hear things like this and I'm like, why am I a fan? I don't get it. I could be happier. I live closer to Seattle. I could get on that bandwagon instead of putting myself through another off season of stress. I don't get it. Elite teams don't make trades like this. You don't give up, you know, a decent prospect for a guy who's 38 years old and making $5.5 million. Even if he's not in your plans, you still just don't do that. It should be headache for headache or cash. Headache for headache, you know, like Neil for Keith, or, you know, a late pick for salary retained on the guy, like whatever. You don't trade prospects for 38 year old guys who's careers are, you know, on the, not the back nine, the back two. And this is just, oh my God, this is frustrating.
This guy's just writing off a team that didn't even do the deal.
I'm with him.
And now we have just broken the record for the quickest leap to, we've already done the trade and reaction.
Yeah, we're fucked.
What the fuck are we doing?
I'm giving you a fantasy, Adam. But the deal's
not done. Yeah.
This is Edmonton. This is what we do, Chalmers.
How dare you bring Seattle into this? Yeah. You are not going to go be a Seattle fan. You know you won't. Shut the fuck up.
I actually went through the visualization of seeing Nuge in another jersey. Like I went that far, and
I wouldn't let myself get there.
I was upset, just as upset as that guy.
Well, because I had
left the voicemail.
I had the same thing, Jay, after that, the last game against Winnipeg in the playoffs where Nuge scored that beauty goal. And that was, I was just like, oh fuck, was that the last goal I'm going to get to see him score as an Oiler? And it made me sad.
Listen here to Nanaimo, before you go get your Kraken jersey stitched on, we didn't even do that deal. Chill the fuck out. Jesus.
And
thank you for listening.
And I believe we'll do it if it only makes sense.
I hope
we hold the cards. We hold the cards on that. If we fucking lose that trade, whoa.
That's what I mean. Like I agree with Jay entirely. If we lose the trade where we've got everything on our plate, like no bueno.
Yeah.
So what's a non-starter? Giving away prospects and draft picks. That's
Connor McDavid for Duncan Keith. That's a non-starter.
You don't make that one.
One sided. Yeah.
Well, I mean, anyways. We got a couple of voicemails now that are not related to Duncan Keith, so I'm excited.
Wow.
Thank God.
Yeah, sorry, John. Here's one from Adam. It's very quick.
I hope it's about Seth Jones or something.
If the Oilers allowed personalized goal songs and you guys were on the team, what would your guys' songs be? And if you guys could choose, what would Connor's, Leon's, and Nuge's song be?
Now we're talking. Wow. So me, I got to think about the players for a second. But for me, Connor, you'll like this one. This is why I'm hot. Mims.
Damn.
For me. If that's my goal, Scott.
Connor McDavid should be Rocket Man.
Nice.
Ooh, I'd like that.
My goal song would be WAP. 100% WAP. 100%.
Dry yeah. should be. Dry should be.
Forgot like, about Dre.
Forgot about Dre. And Nugent should be Baby Shark.
That'd be funny. I like that. Mine would be The Box by Roddy Ricch. Right, Chalmers?
The Box. Got a lot of that track.
What about the Hamster song? That'd be a wicked goal song for Connor.
Mine would be The Silhouette of the Pinnacle by Riff Raff.
Would it actually?
What? No. It's just a good song right now.
The Silhouette of the Pinnacle is a current track by Riff Raff?
Yeah, or Jody High Roller, as he's known on the streets.
Interesting. I didn't realize you still kept your ear to the ground.
Whoa, that slaps.
That was definitely it.
Wasn't that Pitbull?
Little DJ who?
Mr. Worldwide?
Mr. Worldwide?
Mr. Worldwide.
The album art for this song, Chalmers, is old school.
My song for Connor would be DeRock Wilder. Be the best.
Mine would be ABBA's Money, Money, Money. Just got to get ABBA in there.
Yeah, I can go with
so,
that too.
There's so many songs swinging in my head, like something to do with fire, like but Billy Joel, we didn't start the fire, no.
No I would also flies. Have, for Nuge, I would take Up In Here by DMX.
Oh,
ow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This reminds me, I was reading this thing on a British news website. They'd put out a list of songs Prince Charles listens to try and make him seem like relatable and young.
What's
and I literally did not know a single song on the list. It's like, is your 73-year-old aristocratic grandfather asked to play music on the viola? Anyways, similar.
Yeah, okay, I've got it. I've got this list here. 1 second. Because
what is this? Prince Charles?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we got Given Up, Given In by the 3 Degrees.
What?
Yep, I've never even heard of that. Don't Rain on My Parade by Barbara Streisand.
Oh, huh? Barbara.
La Vie en Rose by Edith Piaf.
Okay. That's classical music, La Vie en Rose, I believe.
Now, Prince Charles is classy. Let's not.
Yeah, that's not going to get you in with the kids.
Yeah, no. None of this is. You're
not going to hear that on TikTok.
Well, that's just
Upside Down by Diana Ross.
Now, that one I knew, I think, but I might be thinking Donna Summer's Upside Down, but maybe it's the same song.
The Voice by
I can actually Imer. Play that song in my head.
Imer. The Voice by Imer Quinn.
What is this? What is this song?
The Click Song by Miriam Makaba.
Classic.
You're there was Lady one song by Peter Skellern.
He said in the interview, there's this one song. It gives me the impossible urge to get up and dance. And like somebody with a PR job is like, oh, there we go. That'll make the kids think he's cool.
I bet it's La Mer by Charles Trenet. Or Benashi by Old Blind Dogs.
Or when Obama puts out a playlist, there's like bangers.
Yeah, it's going to be like Wheezy's on there for sure.
Dude, right. Yeah, I got two. I got two good pop-up songs. One would be All the Way Up by Fat Joe.
Oh yeah.
And then My House by Flo Rida. Imagine playing that. I was like, welcome to
Flo Rida.
Open up the champagne.
Exactly.
Everyone claps.
Yeah, oh yeah, right. Fucking right.
I think
Flo Rida. He's like, I'm making anthems to be made into cell phone ads in 20 years.
Prince Charles wants to become more relatable with the young kids. If you want to become more relatable with the young kids, try shopping at Twig and Berries, picking up some of their good gear, whether it's the nutsack underwear or it's their out of office hoodie. It's right on the front page of their website. It's very beautiful. Nice hoodie. And their gear is top of the line. I was rocking my Twig and Berries hoodie this weekend. We got a promo code for you. It is Nation15. Hit them up. Twigandberries.ca saves you 15%.
Hoodies,
let me add a little on there. Let me add a little on footnote there to that ad, your MCHA. Get a little value out of this read. Look, if you're coming out of pandemic quarantine, you want to get your shit together. You want to get trimmed up. You want to get your beans in something presentable. You want to get out there and you want to get back in the game quick.
Yep.
So make sure you're wearing new underwear. Damn it. This is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And let us know in the voicemail if you have any success wearing them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, while we're on the topic of cleaning things up, it's easy to also tell people, you know, we got our friends at Manscaped as well. And that promo code is Real Life, 20% off and free shipping. So the Manscaped Twig and Berries kind of duo that we have on this podcast, we do this. We give you these promo codes for you, the listener, to improve your quality of life.
We should do a Nation Real Life box where you get Manscaped, Twig and Berries, and the 900 pack of condoms because you're going to do so well if you use the first two products.
That's kind of gross.
Okay.
We have and one more.
They roll out, they say keep Nuge forever, Tyler.
We do have one more voicemail. Do you guys want to hear it?
Oh, yeah, always.
Okay. Last one. This one is from Kevbo. Okay.
I know Kevbo from Instagram.
Okay, so this could be like probably a little bit both for real life and Nation Radio, but why are Edmonton fans so scared of celebrating so much?
Mm-hmm.
Watching the Euros right now, and the England fans are absolutely going bananas. But whenever Edmonton scores or does something well, everybody gives like a sarcastic little clap, and that's all they do. And they hardly stand up. These guys are standing the whole game. What's wrong?
Right.
Let's get up, Edmonton. Right. Let's cheer our team like for real instead of just like sarcastically. And I don't know.
Holy
Maybe
fuck.
That's just me.
Listen here.
Let's go, Edmonton. Tits. And hey, Nuge, love it. Best birthday present ever. Thank you.
Happy belated birthday.
You're welcome. Yeah.
What I'd say is once we get to, we need to get to the playoffs, then we show people how we shine. But it's like almost like there's a buildup until the playoffs. And then as soon as that first game goes, like I remember going to games in 2017, and you can hear yourself think. We need
first
to get to
all,
the playoffs.
We haven't been allowed in an arena for over a calendar year. So let's just start with that there, Chief. Like, two, not, we made the playoff once in 16 years. You want me to stand and clap? Come on.
Hey, I went to a Swansea Swans game, and they were on the verge of relegation, which means they're not doing well.
They were
and
singing.
People are going crazy. The European sports fan experience is something I wish we could adopt here, but right now it's not in our culture. We have to.
What did Larvinen say? It was peaceful, like a spa.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna give you
peaceful.
I'll give you my psychological breakdown of this. I've been watching the Euros myself, and I've noticed that you know soccer is a largely like a real blue collar sport, hence why the Super League didn't work. The fans revolted. They are very passionate about their teams and not in the same type of way that we are. They go to the games. And like Jay said, when the guys from Finland came here, they had team songs. There's all these team songs in football, in soccer, I mean. And all these – the ways that they act in the crowd is different from the way we act. Mostly because from the time I started going to Oilers games, I noticed that a majority of the fans, especially in the lower bowl, are there not because they bleed copper and blue and not because they want to get up and live and die with every shot, but that they want to be held in a higher regard in their social standard. And that does not placate itself to standing on your chair all day and all game and watching this sport.
It's Chalmers, I can't tell you how many times I've stared down into the Coventry Homes lounge at hockey games and seen you milling about down there with the other Illuminati.
Yeah. Your fancy chair on.
Look at him. Look at him down
exactly.
There.
We look.
Drinking his drinks. Eating.
You're in a fishbowl with all the elite.
Heaven's
yes,
sakes.
Exactly.
You're describing that, yourself.
There is and where the problem lies. It's the people worrying about the judgment, right? The judgment there is if you aren't on your feet, you better get the fuck up and support our team. Where here it's, if you're cheering a little bit, too, hey, sit down. I want you to sit
down.
No, I've got
a guy over from us and where we sit, he let his kids go to a game and they stood and cheered and like were really loud. And he got a phone call from the Oilers saying people around your seats complained about your kids making so much noise. Keep it down.
That is the culture.
Yep.
And there might be a correlation
between ticket prices too. So
yeah.
Anyways.
Rich people don't like it.
So there's a few ways to tackle this. Cause like even going and watching some games in Europe, there is the rowdy section. And then there's like the people that just kind of like chill and just watch the game. But what they do is that the people in the rowdy section set the tone, set the vibe for when something good does happen.
Yes.
And then the rest of the building chimes in for 30 seconds, 60 seconds, but then and then they go down and kind of relax and go about their ways. So they're like that it's you need buy-in for that, but you need that section. Yeah. So like, yeah, okay. Let Chalmers and his crew in the lower bowl do their thing.
Oh
yeah.
Let them do their thing.
Chalmers and the cools.
And not even the whole upper, like the 200s. You don't even need all of them in. You just need a devoted section to fill the air like the Finns did. 25 Finns sat in the
changed
building.
The course of the season.
And set a vibe. You could hear them all over the fucking building.
You could hear them on TV.
You hear them outside.
So take that, knock that up to one section where it's like 200 people or 150 people. And they'll set the tone and they'll elevate people. And if people don't want to be near them, go on the far other side of the building and you won't be directly affected by it. And then people will want to gravitate towards that. And then the Chalmers is of the world down low.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we can
eating caviar
to bring them up. Yeah, just put the caviar down for 1 second
and
participate in a power play chant.
Santana champ, because it's so crisp. Listen, we've been to enough NFL football games to know that it's also about setting like a precedent. But it's always awkward to just stand up at the very beginning of the game. But it everybody kind of looks around. Same as like a concert, right? But the minute everybody starts to do it, then it starts to get like more accepted. I think that kind of thing needs to happen. Yeah. And I don't disagree with like rowdy sections, and there should be, you know, the quiet section. Hey, if you don't want people standing around you and you want to buy tickets in the quiet section,
no, there is no quiet section. You're at a fucking sporting event. Go the fuck home.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you're not gonna have to worry about like if you're in row 10 that the guy in row 9 is standing up in front of you. If the guy's standing up in front of me and everybody else is standing, I love that, man. That atmosphere is great. But if you're a 65-year-old man who just wants to sit there and watch it, you know, and you don't want that, you should be able to find a seat in the arena that's like that. So
the one thing we need to acknowledge about hockey that compared to, you know, Premier League soccer or football, is that we play so many games in so short order. There's Monday night or Tuesday nighters. We're like in soccer, like there's always like it's a Saturday afternoon game.
Yeah.
Or it's Sunday.
And we get pretty excited on our hockey night in Canada, Saturday night games.
Ish. It definitely does level up, but that's where you really make the first big move is like, okay, Saturdays or Friday games is like where you level it up and it's supposed to be a party.
Because we can chant to the arena.
Oh, of course.
Everyone needs to buy in. If you were at Rexall Place up in the gallery and it was Saturday night against the Flames, you knew you were going to have an interesting night up there.
The gallery was the pulse. It was the pulse of the building. You would always look to it. And that would put you in the right mindset.
Yeah.
It was always nuts up there.
Think back in the day, though, Jay, like when we started going to games, like you'd fling beer lids at people, remember? And like there'd be fights in the crowd and shit. Like it's tamed a lot since like then. It was a different experience back in the day.
I think if you guys wanted to, as a nation, put together a grassroots effort to do something like that, you should make it so that Friday and Saturday night games next season, you post for the week before, this is a song we're going to sing as a crowd.
Yeah, I got a fucking sign. It goes like this. Goes, take off your top hat, Chalmers, and put down your monocle, you rich fuck. Get off your hands and cheer.
Print out like 5,000 fucking flyers with the lyrics that are super easy.
Oh,
roll them to everybody and say, yeah, or that. And then, well, that's what I said. They said do it on the
print off leaflets. What the fuck?
Chalmers, I think like you're asking like people to Saturday Night Live, rehearse for, I think you got to like, have staples and just pound those out. It's repetition.
No, but if you get a Friday song and then a Saturday song, you just repeat those every week.
How do you have enough people singing the first time to get momentum?
Okay, this week we're going to do
two insane people just yelling and everyone going, what? What?
We already have a song.
It needs.
All right. Well, looks like
we sure do.
Looks like the one group of people that.
No, Charles.
Centralized fans is too lazy to fucking do anything about it.
Cool. No. Well, yeah.
Wow. Are you on the show chirping the show?
I also think, like,
Charles, it's deeper. It's deeper than what you're suggesting. You're just saying we should just put out here. Everyone, download this and come and sing. It needs to be way more coordinated. We actually need an organization that's actually going to deliver on what they fucking say.
That's us.
And actually,
that's you.
They need to let us in.
Grab it yourself.
They need to let us. Your people, Chalmers, need to let us in and do that.
Yeah, Chalmers.
They teased us two seasons ago. They promised us a nation section, and they fucking took it away and tried to use it as a ticket-selling event. There's the fucking issue. Let us in the fucking building.
Interesting.
We'll show you how it's done.
Interesting. Let me in the building. I'll fucking cheer loud enough for everybody.
In the building. didn't just give up. They found a way in the building, and then they did what they wanted.
So then, if you have a devoted section,
called revolution.
Then you curate people that are willing to do the effort.
And then they made the Islanders move to Brooklyn, Chalmers. They made them move to Brooklyn. And their fans found a way.
All right.
You know who I miss is that old Usher.
I'm not the right guy for the job. That's all I hear.
That old Usher that give you knuckles on the way up the long escalator ride. Where's he?
Yeah.
I love that guy.
I bet. Well, hopefully we see him again.
Like, I hope to God he's made it through. I love that guy. I was ready for like a big long playoff run where I was like, I have to give that guy knuckles for the good luck.
Yeah, he was great.
Do you think we're going to make the playoffs next year, your Amtrak? Please, God, say yes.
Oh, have you looked at their division? Holy shit.
With his acquisition, I'm not sure anymore.
Well. They could not make a single offseason move and they'd still make the playoffs in the Pacific. Just Connor McDavid will will them to it.
Like, yes!
In that division, Anaheim sucks. What? San Jose sucks. The LA Kings are potentially getting better, so they're a team to watch. Arizona sucks and is selling. Calgary sucks. Vancouver maybe has potential, but they're probably going to suck as well. It's basically Edmonton and Vegas, and then a clump of like.
Isn't Vancouver, Seattle in the mix too?
Yeah, Seattle will be in the mix, but like a clump of like.
There'll be a wild card.
Seattle, yeah. LA, Vancouver, Calgary. There's that group that'll be fighting for like one, maybe two playoff spots, and then. San Jose, Anaheim.
It'll be interesting to see what Vegas does this offseason because they're probably going to try to go for Eichel.
Yeah, they're going for Eichel. 100%.
They are?
I think that.
That means they have to move some pieces.
Yeah, they're going to have to move some pieces. Frank Saravalli on the DFO rundown last week said the names who could come out of there are Riley Smith, Jonathan Marchessault, and Max Pacioretty. But if they were going to make a move... If they were going to make a move for Eichel, like you would probably, it'd probably be like a Riley Smith, and then you'd have to get rid of that. I'm sure they wouldn't mind getting rid of one of Lehner or Fleury to make the money work, but they would find a way to make it happen.
Maybe in Vegas where there's so many FACOs and stuff, there'll be people Eichel can pay to pretend to be his friends.
That's rude. That seems unnecessarily rude.
He's mean. He belongs in like a industrial wasteland where you can just sit in an old rusted out warehouse.
That's
frown.
Buffalo.
Yeah, whoa, I know.
Hey, don't shit on Buffalo.
Hey, I'm a Bills fan. I love Buffalo.
Yeah, but Buffalo. I feel for Buffalo fans. They deserve better than what they're getting.
Except for the Bills.
If Tyler tries, we should throw him through a table.
Or send me to Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Did you see what happened to that poor goalie in the Columbus system?
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was actually I was going to end the podcast with that because obviously horrible news. If you didn't hear this, Matisse Kivlenyks, Columbus Blue Jackets goaltender, 24 years old, just scooped up his first win like a year and a bit ago. Like super, super promising guy. He passed away in a fireworks accident.
He's sitting in a hot tub enjoying July 4th.
Things kind of went wrong there, and he passed away again at the age of 24. So super, super sad stuff. Obviously, we send our condolences to the Kivlenyks family, Jackets fans as well. Just really, really brutal stuff.
Good God. Yeah.
And it is tough to kind of transition off that as well, because like 24 years old, had his whole career in front of him, had his whole life in front of him as well. So it just sucks. And we'll wrap up the episode there.
That's a real fucking down note to wrap up.
Well, I mean, it's hard to go from that to anything else. Yep.
Do you
want to
end on a high note? Don't you want to? No? Okay. Wow.
Why don't I just ask a question?
Yeah. Why don't I just look at your MChuck's judgmental face and just shrivel like a plant in the hot sun?
The question I was going to ask is, do you guys think the Stanley Cup's going in the air tonight?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So do I.
What an uneventful final.
This has been episode 295 of the Real Life Podcast. Shout out to our friends at the HGA Group. Shout out to whatever. Anyways, this podcast is over.
Great job on making it through the entire hour of the Real Life Podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.